We're going to be reading the Word of God. I'm going to be reading from 2 Peter. I'm sorry. Yeah. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, saved folks, Christians, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, thank you for your word, Lord God. We just pray and ask, Father, that you bless your word, Lord God. Open up the ears and the eyes, Father God, of those who don't know you tonight, Lord God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, if you were here, or maybe caught it on sermon audio, in the first part of this message, because I told Deacon Elmer I was going to title the first one, part one. This is part two. There's probably going to be a part three. But in the first part of the message, I told you that we first had to understand what the word election meant before we could understand our calling and before we could make sure of that calling and that election. I also made it known to everybody that I did not, and I still do not, fully understand God's election. But God does elect folks. There is a doctrine of election. Through the Word of God, I showed you that election means to be chosen by God. So there's some folks in here tonight that are elect. You've been chosen by God. I also showed you through God's Word the foolishness of Calvinism. Foolishness, the complete retardedism of Calvinism, if that's a word.
Amen.
With that said, I don't know how one theologian, and I ain't going to waste much time on him tonight, but it blows my mind how one theologian could claim to understand the whole counsel of God. That's just beyond me. He knows the whole counsel of God, and he's going to write this whole doctrine. I'm done with him. Amen. So I've concluded that Pastor Neil has to be right. He's got to be right. There's two heavens. Because the heaven I'm going to, we're going to be praising the Lord Jesus Christ for his great plan of salvation for eternity, forever. Because we'll never understand it. I wonder sometimes, even when we're in heaven, will we fully grasp and understand what Jesus Christ did on that cross? That's the heaven I'm going to be in.
Amen.
The other heaven, since they claim to fully understand God's counsel, they fully know God, I don't know what they're going to be doing. If I had to guess, I'd say they'd be trying to cool off. It's just my guess. So before we get into today's message, I want to show you that election today, God's choosing today, is through grace.
Amen.
Romans 11, verses 1 through 5, read like this. I say then, hath God cast away his people? This is Paul writing here. God forbid, for I am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have preserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. And then Paul said this, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. You ask Brother Dave what a remnant is. He used to work at Hometown Carpet. A remnant is a small piece of something left over. And guess what? That remnant of grace, God's word said it is sufficient. God said his grace is sufficient.
Amen.
Ephesians 2, 5 and 9 says, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
Saved by grace. That remnant of grace is still here today.
Amen.
You can reach out and grab it if you don't have it. So therefore, in order to be elect, in order to be chosen by God, you must believe. You must believe. You got to believe what I'm saying up here. Not because I'm saying it, because I'm taking it straight out of Scripture. I'm reading Scripture and doing my best to explain it. Romans 10, verses 8 through 13 say this, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That's the word of faith which I'm trying to preach up here right now.
Mm-hmm.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Mm-hmm. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen.
For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So today we're going to be looking at your calling. Because see, you got to first be called by God before you can respond to his call and be chosen by God. Before you can be elect, God's got to call you. Now, whether you have been elected or not, whether you have been chosen or not by God, you have been called. I'm going to tell you right now, you've been called. And if you haven't been called, you're going to be called tonight. The question ain't going to be, have I been called? The question is going to be, how did you respond to that call?
Amen.
How did you respond to God's call? The word calling in the Webster Dictionary is defined like this. A strong inner impulse towards a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by conviction of divine influence. I love that Webster Dictionary. That's a good tool. So pay attention here. You cannot be chosen by God unless you have been first called by God.
Amen.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Amen.
Romans 10:14.
Amen.
When God calls a sinner to repentance, he deals with that sinner on a personal level. He might use a life situation. He might use someone or something to bring you to the realization that you need God, that you need him. But he only calls through his word.
Amen.
He only calls through his word. Jesus Christ is not going to show up here today and meet you face to face and talk to you. You're not going to audibly hear Jesus Christ speak, no matter who you think you are.
Amen.
Pastor Aliano, you're not going to hear him speak.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 1:21 says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, for the world knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." He calls through his word. He calls through preaching. And if he doesn't call, you can't be saved. Let me make that clear, because I don't want somebody to misinterpret what I'm saying here. If you did not hear the gospel, if you didn't hear how Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the grave, then your emotions were probably just moved by some sad, sappy story or some touchy song, and you decided that you wanted to change.
Amen.
That's not salvation.
Amen.
That is not salvation.
Amen.
You have to hear the gospel.
Amen.
You have to hear how Jesus Christ died for your sins.
Amen.
We just read it in Romans. In Romans 10. Romans 10:8-13. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. Confess and made with the mouth, with the heart the man believe it. It's right there. The ABCs
Amen.
Are right there.
Amen.
You don't hear the word of God, you can't be saved.
Amen.
And like I said, you've been called. Okay, if you're in here tonight, you've been called. You're getting called right now.
Amen.
If you feel a conviction, it's not me. I ain't saying nothing. I'm reading the Bible. That's the Holy Spirit doing his work. And we're going to get to that a little bit later.
Amen.
So, who will God call? Is he just going to call some? Is he just going to call his elect? Or is he going to call everyone? Let's go to Scripture and see what Scripture says.
Amen.
1 Timothy 2:1-6 read like this. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Verse number 4, pay attention. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. And if you don't know what the truth is, here it is. There is one God.
Amen.
All them other religions that tell you that there's more than one God, that everybody's going to heaven, you just got to believe in God. Well, here you go. Take them here. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Not the man John Calvin.
Amen.
Okay. Not the man Joseph Smith. Not the man Pope whatever.
Amen.
But the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time.
Amen.
So it sounds to me like no other religion outside of Christianity will be in the heaven I'm going to.
Amen.
They might be in that other heaven trying to cool down, but they won't be in the heaven I plan on going to. And I know somebody right now is probably like, oh, he's cocky. He's going to stand up and say he's going. Yeah, that's right. I'm going because the word of God says I'm going.
Amen.
Because I know he saved me. And if
Amen.
You don't have that confidence, then you better get right with God.
Amen.
Because he tells you in his word that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're going to be saved.
Amen.
And we're going to look how you're going to know you'll be saved too. How you're going to know that calling. We're going to get to that. So, how will God choose people? How will God choose who he calls? Because that's how everybody's going to be called. But not everybody's going to be in heaven. Some of them are going to be in the other heaven. So how will he choose who he calls? Because he's going to call everyone, but everyone's not elect. Everyone's not chosen by God.
Amen.
So God chooses folks. And I said this in the first sermon, that before you choose anything, and this is just like a life standard, it's just what we do. Before you choose anything, there's some standards it has to meet.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just going to say, hey, you know what, just give me any pair of shoes, I'll wear them. And then you get a size 3 and you get 2 less. What are you going to do with that? No, you're going to try them on. You're going to make sure they fit right. And whatever you plan on doing, you're going to walk in them. You're going to walk around the store a little bit. You plan on playing basketball, you're going to jump in them a little bit. There's a standard. Okay? So there's a standard to the people God's going to choose. So he chooses folks on how they respond to the gospel message of his son. So let's look at how God does this. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and to the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word, quick and sharp, sounds painful to me. Piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit don't sound like it's fun. Like I said earlier, somebody might be feeling convicted. That's the Holy Spirit starting to work on you through his word. That's God starting to call you through his word, not me.
Amen.
This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Look at this with me. John 16, verses 7 through 15. Jesus Christ telling the disciples what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, what he was going to do when he came. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I will send him unto you. He has sent him. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because I love how the Word of God just explains itself. Because I was going to stop and explain that, but you just keep reading, and the Word of God explains itself.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ said, and of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So if you're right now feeling like, man, what this dude's saying sounds like it's true, that's the Holy Spirit guiding you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Alright? So all them tongue speakers, this is what the Spirit does. He doesn't
Amen.
Flap your tongue around in gibberish and you're just talking about nothing. No,
he
tells you about Jesus Christ. He convicts you of your sin. That's what he does. That is work.
Amen.
But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, Jesus Christ, not me standing here, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
For he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. All things that the Father have our mind, therefore said I, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit will convict you and show you what you're doing wrong, and then leave you some room to make a choice, to make a decision. Oh, well, it sounds like I'm working for my salvation. No, you're making a decision on your free will. Salvation is all God. It's all God by grace, through faith. You gotta believe. You can't tell me you believe in something, but nothing happens.
Amen.
You're going to know if God's called you, and you're going to know if he chose you.
Amen.
There's evidence. Don't act like you don't. If you're unsaved in here tonight, you know it. And if you're saved in here tonight, you know it. How can I say that? Because therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Okay, but that don't make sense to me. Well, let me try to help you understand this. And this is funny because I'm using a stinking Calvinist. I'm stealing one of his examples that I heard in a sermon one time, but it made sense. So let's say that I come running in here tonight and I'm, 2 hours late, but I come running here tonight. You know, you guys are all ready to go home. I come busting in the back door, run up into the pulpit. I stand here. I'm out of breath. Catch my breath. Hold on a second. Forgive me, everybody. Forgive me for being late tonight. But you never believe what happened to me. I was walking to my car after work, and it was parked across the street, and I was crossing the road, and I looked both ways, but out of nowhere, a semi-truck came and boom, smashed me. But I'm here tonight. You're going to conclude one of two things. Either I'm a lunatic, I'm out of my mind, I've completely lost it, or I'm a liar. That's it. One or two. Either I'm out of my mind, I got a chemical imbalance, or I'm a stinking liar. One of the two. Okay?
Amen.
If I get ran over by an 18-wheeler and I'm just standing there like nothing happened. So now I put on the table, who's bigger? Jesus Christ or the 18-wheeler? Don't tell me you've come into an interaction with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and nothing's changed.
Uh-huh.
Something's going to change.
Uh-huh.
Something has to change. The Word of God says you're going to be a new creature. You're going to tell me that you got saved, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to sit there and call me brother, but nothing's different about you. You still cuss. You still smoke. You still gamble. You do it all. You still run around with the same girls, with the same guys, no matter what it is.
Uh-huh.
Nothing's changed. No, you're going to know. You're going to know if God called you. You're going to know if He chose you. Don't act like you won't. Don't call God a liar. He ain't no liar. Let me attempt to show you what this looks like. I'm going to show you what this looks like with Scripture. Y'all remember the story of Paul and Silas when they were thrown into prison because Paul cast that demon out of that soothsaying little girl? Oh, well, Jesus was preached. No, get out of here. Peace, leave. We don't want the testimony of no demons. So let's pick it up. Let's pick it up in Acts 16. I want to show you what this looks like when God deals with an individual. Acts 16, verse 23, and I'm going to read a little bit here. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Paul and Silas here, thrown in jail. Whoever received such a charge thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. So Paul and Silas was praying and singing praises unto God in prison. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. And everyone's bands were loosened. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, he was sleeping on a job like Pastor Neil.
Amen.
And seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. And I just want to stop there for a second, because I remember going through this lesson with the teens in one of the VBSs. And he wanted to kill himself because his whole life was wrapped up in that job. All right? That was his God. That job was his God. That was all he had. All right, he tried to fill that empty void in his life with work. All right, and if I messed up my job, I might as well be dead. I don't know why God just put that on my heart, but maybe it's for somebody. But he would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Uh-oh, I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to kill myself. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." That's how the Christian would have acted if he almost got released. Or that's how the Christian would act if he accidentally got handed a few extra dollars at the register. That's how the Christian, hey, you know, here, you gave me too much money. Here, take this back.
Amen.
Christianity? No, I'm keep that. He messed up. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" God using this man's life situation to deal with him. You might have had yourself in some situations and you could have heard the gospel, But you decided to do something else. You decided to not act like a Christian. Not act like you knew anything about the Lord.
Uh-huh.
What did he do? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's it. Told them to believe. No, not it. Pay attention. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. They preached the gospel unto him. They gave him the word. And to all that were in his house. They preached the gospel to him. He got saved, went down the road, and got baptized.
Uh-huh.
Notice this Philippian jailer's situation didn't save him. It wasn't the situation, okay? I'm so tired of hearing people's testimonies, and all you hear about is their situation. How about hearing about Jesus Christ?
Amen.
He's the one that saved you.
Amen.
The situation didn't save him. No good deeds were done. No monies were paid to save him, okay? No baptism was formed to save him. Even though he did get baptized, that didn't save him.
Amen.
The word of God preached is what saved him. The preached gospel saved him. So they preached the gospel to this dude. He got saved, him and his whole house. Everybody there that heard the word. They didn't have to stop and set the mood with music to usher in the Spirit. They didn't have to do that. They preached the gospel. They preached the word of God. Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Amen.
See, I believe these churches today that try all these gimmicks to get folks to come to their church, and then when they get them there, they use all this entertainment in the pulpit to get their message across to you. You know, they got to figure out a way to reach you with these PowerPoint sermons, and then they show videos, and they pull out props, and they just want the crowd to have the visual effect. I believe what they're saying is the gospel isn't enough.
Uh-huh.
That's what they're saying. I come to the conclusion that they're saying the gospel ain't enough.
Uh-huh.
Just somebody standing there preaching the gospel, that's not good enough. We got to add something to make it fit our time.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just not modern enough. We got to modernize the gospel. Jesus just don't understand, because you see the culture Jesus lived in, you know, it was different, and Jesus couldn't reach today's people with his message. He would need all of our props. He would have to do the same stuff we're doing. That's what Jesus would have had to do. Pull out the big screen, give me the PowerPoint. No. 2 Timothy 4:1-5 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word. You don't need no gimmicks, okay? Nobody needs the mime. We don't need no flag wavers. We don't need no dancing.
Uh-huh.
Preach the word.
Amen.
Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. He did say exhort. There's some good stuff in here, but it's not always beating you up. For the time will come where they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, not preachers, teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You know what he just said? Protect your pulpit, Timothy. Protect your church, Timothy.
Amen.
All right? You want my calling to go out? Well, my word has to go out.
Amen.
Okay? Protect your pulpit. Mm-hmm. Pastors just let anybody come up in their pulpit and preach the gospel ain't right. Protect your pulpit. You should know who's getting up there, and you should know what they're going to say. You got to have some background with them before you let them stand in your pulpit and preach.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine me preaching this message at a charismatic church? Come on. Jesus called folks. Let's look at Jesus calling his disciples. In Matthew 4:17-23 reads like this. From the time Jesus began to preach, even Jesus Christ preached the gospel to call folks. And to say to them, repent. Alright, turn from your sin. 180, not a 360. Go the opposite way of what you're doing. for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me. He called them out. Follow me. They knew the gospel. They heard the gospel message. When Jesus was going around preaching, the word of God says everybody knew about him. Everybody heard. Going down the road a little bit and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the ship with Zebedee their father, making their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left their ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. He was preaching. Okay? He was preaching. So, if just anybody, you know, needs to be called, needs to be saved to get into heaven, what about pastors? Pastors need to be called too. First, they need to be called unto salvation. Okay? We got a lot of unsaved people preaching today. Second, they need to be called to preach. Alright? They got to be called by God to preach the gospel. Alright? You got to be called to pastor a church. And you'll be able to tell. Amen. Romans 10, verses 14 to 15 read like this. How shall they call on him? How shall God's people, how shall the human race call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We need preachers. We need somebody to stand up here and proclaim the truth, proclaim God's word. And don't candy coat it. Don't put no sugar on top. Give it to us straight.
Amen.
And how shall they preach except they be sent? Except God called that man to preach the gospel.
That's right.
As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So we got all kinds of folks today preaching, all right, who are not called.
Amen.
Joel Osteen, not called.
Amen.
Joyce Myers, not called. T.D. Jakes, not called.
Amen.
Creflo Dollar, not called.
Amen.
Benny Hinn, not called. Pastor Aliano, not called. Okay? I'm bringing it close to home. I don't care who listens to this. Because it's the truth. And I got, you know, honestly, I got love for that dude. Because when he preached, I got saved. There was enough Bible in his preaching to call me. To call out my sin. There was enough there where the Holy Spirit was like, I could work on this dude. So thank God for him. But he ain't called to preach. Okay?
Amen.
How do I know that? Because he's preaching a charismatic message. He got a different Jesus. He's going to be in the heaven trying to cool off. I'm not going to be there. God has to call you. Okay? Your daddy can't call you to preach.
Amen.
You can't call yourself to preach. God has to call you.
Amen.
God can call and use anyone. Because I know there's some folks in here, or some folks listening on sermon audio, they're going to think, I can't be saved. I can't be called to preach. I can't. No, God can call and use anyone.
Amen.
Remember Saul, the pre-converted Paul? God called him on his way to go persecute some Christians. It'd be like somebody on their way here right now to come shoot this place up. God, that's how God called Paul. Let's read it real fast.
Amen.
Acts chapter 9. Verses 1 through 9. And Saul, the pre-converted Paul here, the one who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, he wrote the Pauline epistles from Romans to Philemon. That's almost the whole New Testament, two-thirds of it. And Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desiring them letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, women didn't get a break, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Alright, he wasn't just going to put handcuffs on you. You was going to catch a beating. Some stones, whatever he had. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. We're going to look at Jesus Christ calling Paul here. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, here's God calling him, Saul, Saul, you ain't going to hear him like that. You're going to hear him through his word.
Amen.
Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Sinner, sinner, why are you doing this? Why won't you just come to the belief in me? I died for you. I went to that cross for you. I hung there and let all my blood out for you. Why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecute. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It's hard to live in this sin-sick world without the Lord. You ain't going to get saved and your life's going to be perfect. Pastor preaches that all the time. But guess what? Unsaved folks are going through it too. Amen. My brothers aren't saved and they go through some stuff.
Uh-huh.
But they don't have the Lord. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how I did it for so many years. They don't have the Lord.
Amen.
It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? If you're thinking right now, well, what can I do? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and now shall be saved.
Amen.
God can use anybody. All right. If he used a murderer who was killing Christians, who was killing folks, following them, he can save anyone and he can use you.
Amen. That's right.
Religious folks got to be called too. Y'all remember Nicodemus from John chapter 3? He's religious. And guess what? Jesus, God in the person of Jesus Christ, called him too.
Uh-huh.
What did he tell him? What must I do to enter into the kingdom of God? He said, you got to be born again.
Uh-huh.
He called him too. He told him, you must be born again. All right? You're not just going to get in because you're a teacher. He said in verse number 10 of John chapter 3, he said, aren't thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? All right. There's a lot of religious folks out there. A lot of fathers standing behind whatever you call it. I'm not going to call it a pulpit because they ain't preaching.
Amen.
And they think they know the word of God. And they think they're doing some justice. There's some religious folks. And guess what? They don't know anything. Aren't thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? You won't go to a Catholic church where they're going to be preaching you must be born again. Because they don't believe in that. If you got sprinkled from birth, you're good. You're in. Your sins is washed away. Go live it up. Just come next week. Bring your check. Give it to the priest inside the room and you'll be forgiven. We'll say some Hail Marys. You're all right.
Uh-huh.
Don't worry about it.
Uh-huh. Tell the truth, brother.
Jesus came to call everyone. All right. Where do I get that from? Because he says in Luke 5:32, he says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone is going to be called. Everyone. And remember, when God calls you, he calls you by grace.
Amen.
Oh, but I just don't feel like I deserve to go to heaven. You don't.
Amen.
All right. That's why it's grace.
Amen.
You don't deserve to go. Just respond in thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, you would let an ignorant sinner like me, a liar, a cheater, a thief, a drug dealer, a smoker, a drinker, thank you that you'd let me in. Thank you, Lord. You don't deserve it.
Amen.
You're saved by grace through faith and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God.
Yes. Amen.
A gift of God.
Mm-hmm.
So has this happened to you? And I'm winding it down. I'm closing. I ain't going to do what I did last time. See that? I'm only going to close once. But has this happened to you? Has he called you? I told you he's going to call you. Because if he didn't call you before tonight, he's calling you right now.
Amen.
All right? He's calling you right now through his word. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. Was born of a virgin. Lived a sinless life. All right? Sinless. He never sinned. No thought, no word, nothing. He never did anything that was sinful. Nothing that would ever dishonor his Father. Then he climbed up on the cross. Because the Word of God says he laid his life down. He climbed up there and he died for sins that he didn't commit. Whose sin? My sin.
Amen.
Your sin. The
Amen.
Sins of this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, shall not perish, will not go to that other heaven where they're going to be trying to cool off, but they'll be in heaven with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Did you answer that call? How did you answer? See, some folks might have just checked the caller ID and said, I ain't picking that one up.
Nope.
I ain't picking that one up. You ever wonder why? You ever wonder why God called you and you didn't answer? He's been calling you so many times and you just don't want to answer? And this is the condemnation, John 3:19. Light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You love your sin, okay? That's why you love your sin more than you love Jesus Christ. Well, I'm young, I got time, I just want to sow my wild oats. What if you die before you're done sowing your wild oats?
Amen.
Oh, you know, God will be gracious to me. No, He won't.
Amen.
God is just, and He's going to deal with sin. All right? You have an opportunity tonight to call out to Him and ask Him to forgive you, and you can be saved. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Come to Jesus Christ, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And I just want to close with this. No one, nobody, not your mom, not your grandma, not me, not the pastor, no one can tell you you're called. No one can tell you you're elect.
That's right.
No one's going to tell you that God called you and saved you. Okay? If they try to say, yeah, well, you're saved. I know you're saved. They cannot. Okay?
Amen.
Only God. Only
Amen.
God. And you'll know. You'll know. Only God calls. Story has it of this young boy who swore he was called to preach. He was in his room and he's reading his Bible. He's reading John 3:15, and he felt like God was calling him. I'm called to preach. I feel it. I know it. So it's all excited. He runs down and he goes and tells his grandma. Grandma, grandma, I'm called to preach. She said, yeah, you are. He said, yeah, I'm called to preach, grandma. She said, well, let me hear it, boy. Let me hear it. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave. She said, stop right there. You ain't been called to preach. Get out of here. You know, I mean, young boy, he's sad. He went back to the room, put his head down. Oh, man, I thought it was called. Started reading the Bible again. Started feeling that calling again. God speaking to him through his word. John 3:16, man, I can do this. I can go tell people about this. God calling him. So he runs out there again. Grandma, grandma, I know I'm called to preach. I just know. She said, all right, boy, let me hear it. Let me hear it again. He started again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Get out of here, boy. You're not Paul. Kicked him out of there again. This time he was really soft. He went back. Man, I mean, he's crying hard now. He's in his room bawling. And while he's down there on his knees bawling, still in front of his Bible, he feels like God calling him again. He says, you know what? I'm going to go back out here. So he runs out there and he's weeping and he's crying. Hey, grandma. Grandma, I know him, Paul. She said, let me hear it, boy. She said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, she said, yeah, boy, you got it. Yeah, you're called. I know it now.
Oh, that's funny. Amen. Amen.
No one can tell you you're called, all right? Only God. It don't matter the presentation, how you do it. Only God can call you, all right?
Amen.
And he's calling all people to repent from their sins and turn to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for your time.
Amen.